So, Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word, Lord, to hear your word, to receive your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord. Thank you for the light of your word, Lord, that illuminates the way. And my God, it seems every week, Lord, we need your word more as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. Thank you for your word, Lord, for it teaches us how to live, how to think, how to act, how to love, how to care, how to be disciplined. Thank you, Lord, that your word covers it all. Let us internalize your word so that we can apply your word, so that we can live your word. We can allow your word to be light and to be salt through us, Lord. And we thank you. We're so grateful for the word. We wouldn't know what to do without your word. We would have to live our life based on opinions without your word. But thank you that we can live our life based on the word of God, the true and the living God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I did say 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 6. Amen. It seems like every week is something going on. I guess it's just a sign of the times that we live in. But I guess that as a church, we can't be surprised that we have to go through persecution, have to deal with things. So as I was in my prayer and study time, as I hope you were as well, this week, God was just ministering to my heart how the world is going to do what the world is going to do. And we have to stand as men and women and young men and young women of God. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. So we have five people in the Supreme Court because it was a 5-4 vote. We were supposed to be a government for the people and by the people. And five people make a decision that same-sex marriage is legal in every state. And so it's a sign of the times. That's where we are. And, you know, it has to come. Persecution will probably have to come to our door in some form or fashion, because the only place now that says it's not right is a church. Amen? Amen. And so we have to continue to pray for our leadership. We have the president who called the couple who sued the state of Tennessee because they got married in a state where it was legal, went to Tennessee, and they said, no, we don't do that stuff here. So they sued. So the president called them that morning and congratulated them that now we're a more perfect union and love wins. And then I purposely wanted to see what the president was going to say when he, that same day, he flew to South Carolina to speak at the eulogy for the pastor who was killed. The president spoke on grace. He even sang Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Same day. Not bashing the president, I'm not. But hear what I'm saying. And I thought about it, and God said, well, he's no different than you and I. That we come to church and do one thing, and then we go to our job and do something else.
Amen.
We go to church and appear to be one way, then we go to school and act another way. Amen. We come to church and appear to be one way, and then we go home and have no idea that we ever went to church. He said, what do you expect? That's what people do. They go to church one way and go about their business, go to the gym or wherever, and they're a totally different person. I got it, Lord. I'm going to pray for him, just like I need to pray for myself and everyone else. Amen?
Amen.
And then remember, next week, Saturday to be exact, America will celebrate 239 years the what is that, the Declaration of Independence, what do we call it, the 4th of July. Then next week, Sunday, we'll celebrate 2,015 years that our Lord resurrected through communion. Amen? 239, it's amazing how 239 years the moral fabric of America is falling apart. That's why, and we'll go over it again next week, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, you can't be surprised. Jesus gave us communion. He said, you got to do this. Trust me, it's going to come a time where you have to do this in remembrance of me. Otherwise, you won't know what's up and what's down. Amen. America has only been here 239 years. And remember, it's not we're not bashing anyone. We just bash sin. If you're in here and you're sleeping around, that's a sin. Whether you're sleeping with another man or another woman or whatever you're doing, sleeping with a beast, because we talked about that too, it's still a sin. And we will not condone it. We will not co-sign on it. You need to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ and get your life right and move on. If you're lying, you're stealing, you're cheating, you're gossiping, anything that God says is a sin, it's a sin. But we have a country now that wants to celebrate sin. They have to stand before God just like we do. I hope you will never celebrate sin in your life or anyone else's. Amen. All right. The other hashtag was love wins. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Don't get caught up in all this foolishness. I'm telling you, family. Thank God for the word. Otherwise, we'd have to go based upon opinions. And although it's the Supreme Court, they're not the Supreme God. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the El Shaddai, the Almighty. And we all have to answer. Amen. All right, let's get into the lesson today. That's just to start us off. That's the introduction, the warm up. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 6. So here we want to talk about Solomon and how he put himself in a position to hear from God. Make a note in 2 Chronicles 1 and 3, how it's important that we can still worship in the wilderness. Amen. Then we get to chapters, verse 6, and Solomon went up there to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. You should have 1,000 burnt offerings underlined. Verse 7, as after he offered to God, verse 7, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give you. So we pose the question, what do you and I really want from God? What is today? June 28th, 2015. If God asked you that question today, what do you really want from God? Do we really know? Put a star by that. You should be praying on that all week. God, what do I really want? What's really in my heart? What do I really want, Lord? But I want to focus a little bit today on verse 6. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. So we see that he offered. His heart was in the right place, which God tells us in verse 11, and God responded. Let's take a look. Turn with me quickly to Leviticus chapter 1 so we could talk about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book. Let's talk a little bit about the burnt offering. How many did Solomon offer? 1,000. Okay. All right. Let me know if it's getting too cold in here. It was getting too hot. Now it might be getting a little too cold. We're all good. All right. Give me, if it gets too cold, just give me a thumb up or something. We'll get to, well, actually keep you awake too. So anyway, keep you fresh. Did I say Leviticus 1 and 1? And the Lord called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, speaking or saying. Make a note, God speaks in the midst of the congregation. God speaks during church. He still does. Amen. Yes, he does speak to you at your quiet time at home, but God speaks during church. I know you and I have both been in services where we sit there and we go, man, God was reading my mail. That message was just for me. God speaks during church. Here's God speaking to Moses. And see, God speaks to us because he wants to have a relationship with us. This whole Bible is based upon God wanting to have a relationship with his people. How he thinks about us more than the sand, more than the grains of sand, God thinks about you and I. That includes the sand at the beach and the sand in the desert. That's a lot of thoughts that God has towards us. So when Christ came to earth, he initiated the relationship. And when he died and resurrected, he reconciled the relationship. Let me say that again. This is all based on relationship, where when Christ came, he initiated the relationship. And when he died, he reconciled it. So now we have a way back to God. It's all about our relationship with Jesus Christ. So God speaks to Moses in the midst of the congregation and all the people. God's heart spoke to Moses' heart. While you're sitting there, allow God to speak to you through the worship, through the praise, through the prayer. God will speak to your heart. And then he says in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering, underline offering, unto the Lord, you should bring your offering of the cattle, of the herd, and of the flock. So you bring your own offering. It's yours. Okay? You bring what you see fit to the Lord. Verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice, underline sacrifice, it's only a sacrifice if it costs you something. It's not a sacrifice if it's something you don't want. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But he said in verse 3, in his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish. Remember, how many times did Solomon have to, how many offers did he make?
A thousand.
So he had to, throughout his cattle, his bulls, he had to find a male without blemish. So he had to search through all of them and then find that one. Ladies, do you know how hard it is to find a male without blemish? Are we still talking about cattle, ladies? Ladies, do you know how hard it is to find a male without blemish? Men, do you know how hard it is to be a man without blemish? And then, ladies, when you do find him, are you willing to offer him and sacrifice him to God to see if he's actually the one that God's called for you? Do you know how hard it is to find a male without blemish? All right, let me get back to the proper context of the text. Amen. He said you have to offer it of your own free will. God says when you're offering your time, your talents, or your money, it has to be voluntarily. Of his own voluntary will. You and I have to offer to God out of our own free will. God will not force you to work for him, to serve him, to live for him. God will not force you to do that. That has to be of your own free will. And if it's a sacrifice, it has to cost you something. Why would you give God something that you don't want? And you know, as hard as times is, when you write that check for your, or however you give that 10% of your earnings, that's a sacrifice. Somebody say, man, you know you keep that. Unless you're keeping it already and not offering it, and that's, you know, then you already know how hard it is. It's a sacrifice. But it should cost you something. If you can give God 10% when God's already given you 100%, then you offer it, but it has to be of your own free will. It's a sacrifice. When you give your talents and your time, and I thank God for you all being here, this is all volunteer. You sacrifice your Sunday. You sacrifice at least 2 hours of your Sunday to come here. That's the fact. God notices that. God honors that. That does not go unnoticed. That's a sacrifice. You could be at home. You could be at any other church. We could be playing ball somewhere. We could be watching a game. We could be at the beach. We could be at the beach. But you sacrifice your time. It's a sacrifice. Amen? Let me show you what I mean. Turn with me quickly to Genesis. Genesis 4:1. It's not a sacrifice if you don't want it. It's not. That's why it had to be a male without blemish. It had to be the best. God wants your best. So we pick up the commentary and Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Okay, Adam and Eve, all right. So we know that Adam was a man and Eve was a woman. Okay? All right. We know they were the first married couple. We know that the first recorded lie in the Bible was told to a married couple. And couples, he's still lying to us today. Don't believe him. Stay in your word. Live according to God's word. Adam knew his wife. He made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And not Eve and Yvette. And Adam knew his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was dealt with the livestock. Cain dealt with the agriculture. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So Cain brought the fruit that was on the ground and offered unto the Lord. He gave the Lord the stuff he didn't even want. He just reached in his pocket and said, no thought, no consideration. Take this and be happy. You should be happy I'm giving you something. He gave God the stuff he didn't even want. That's not even a sacrifice. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect, or the Lord received unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering that was off the ground, God said, I can't take that. See, it's not a sacrifice if you don't want it. If it means nothing to you, then it means nothing to God. Why would you give something to God that you don't even want? And so then Cain gets upset and his countenance fell. So he gets upset because God wouldn't take what he didn't even want. God wants your heart most of all. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart. God doesn't want your stuff if you're not going to give him your heart. God says, I don't even want that. God wants your life. He wants our heart. Then verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why are you upset, and why is your, fix your face. What's wrong with your face? We talked about that. Amen. Look at your face. He said, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you make a sacrifice that really comes from your heart, just like the lady who gave the 2 pennies, it came from her heart. It wasn't about the amount. It was about her heart. He said, if you do well, you shall be accepted. And if you do not well, then sin lies at the door. If you're going to play this game with God, you best believe it's sin out there that's just waiting for you. If you're not really real with God, then you're going to play with sin, and it's waiting at the door. Every time you and I walk out of the house, walk out of our house, there's sin waiting at the door. And we could get into anything that we want to. It's always waiting at the door. If you're not going to let God rule your heart, your mind, and your thoughts and your life, then sin is waiting for you at the door. Look what God says. If thou doest well, verse 7, shall thou not be accepted. If thou do not do well, then sin's waiting at the door. And unto you there shall be his desire. Sin is waiting for you. And it says, and you should rule over him. He's saying sin can't wait to destroy your life, to steal, kill, and destroy. And he said, but you should have rule over sin. If you do the right thing and you listen to God and you follow God, then you tell sin no. You have rule over sin. But if you're playing with God, then it rules over you. And it waits at the door for you every day. And you try and figure out why I'm always getting tripped. As soon as I walk out the house, I'm tripping over the same stuff. It's because you haven't given it all to God. You're giving God stuff that you don't even want. And see, then later on, we know that Cain kills his brother Abel. But look at go to Genesis 3. And look at verse 5. Excuse me. Let's actually read verse 4, 3 and 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, Satan only gives you half the story. He didn't tell him that you're going to hide from God, that you're going to be depressed, that you're going to feel shame, that you're going to be afraid. He didn't tell him that in verse 4, your son is going to kill your other son. He don't tell you all the story. He didn't tell him, you know, and you're going to have two kids, but the brother's going to kill the brother, and we got to deal with brother killing brother ever since. How can somebody walk into a church and shoot people? How can you drive by and shoot somebody that looks like you and that doesn't look like you? Because they're right here, because Satan never tells you the whole story. He tells you what he thinks you want to hear. That you're going to be like God, that you're going to be something. You're going to be this, you're going to be that. We talked to our young ladies this morning. You're already something because God has made you something. You don't need a man to be something. That's what the enemy tells you. When you get this guy, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. Everybody's going to like you. And then you're going to find out that's a lie. He never tells you the whole story. Never told him the whole story. And then Cain killed his brother. Take a quick look. We have a little time. Take a look at 1 Samuel as well. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. First Samuel 15, this is the conversation between Samuel and Saul. We're still talking about sacrifice. We're still talking about what you want to sacrifice and what God requires of you to sacrifice. Verse 2, thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did. We've been studying that in Bible study. That's a plug for Bible study. Come check out what Amalek did back in Exodus. And God said, we studied last week, God said, I'll never forget what he did. When they had crossed the Red Sea and they were in the wilderness, Amalek, he would wait and he would catch the Israelites that were old and feeble and slow, and he was killing them. And God said, I got it. I'll never forget it. So here we are in Samuel. So when God tells you to do something, then you need to know that God has a reason for it. God said, I remember what he did. I'll never forget. And so here God is raising up Samuel's a prophet. He's talking to Saul. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in his way when they came out of Egypt. Verse 3, now go and kill him. Go kill Amalek and utterly destroy some of that which they have. Aha. Uh-huh. Get rid of all of it. We've broken down all many times. Yes. All means all. That's what it means in the Greek and the Hebrew. In the English and the Spanish, all means all. Todos. Now go and kill all Amalek. Go and attack. Be on the offensive. Get rid of them. Wipe them out. He's saying, don't wait for sin. Go and get rid of it. You need to go home and get rid of some stuff is what he's saying. Get rid of all of it. The teddy bears, the pictures, the number, the text. Get rid of, delete it all. Don't spare none of it. It's not good for you. I remember what they did to you. I remember how they're trying to destroy your life. All right, let me keep going. That they have and spare them not, but kill both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Get rid of all of them. Then we go to verse 8. Go down to verse 8. And he took, well, verse 7. And Saul smote Amalek from Havilah until the comest of Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of Amalek, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the sword. Remember, he's already made one mistake, because God said, get rid of all, but he's going to take somebody alive. And then verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the what? The best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. Underline, they kept what was good. The good stuff gets you all the time. And they would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was ugly and worthless, that's what they got rid of. See, God said, get rid of all. It's not a sacrifice if you keep what you want to keep. I don't care how good he looks, how good she smells. I don't care. God said, you got to get rid of them. Ladies, you know it's easy to get rid of the ugly guys because they ain't bothering you anyway. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking up here. Ugly guy, man, will you stop calling me? I don't like you. No, I'm not going to give you my number. No, don't come over. Don't. If you call, what he's saying Fridays? If you call, I'm not. If you come over here, I'm not going to call you. If you come over here, I'm not going to call you. Don't ever come over again. But it's the good looking ones. It's that girl you see where you go, oh, I'm in trouble. Oh, yeah, you do. The men say that. I'm interested on sight. Most men are more visual. They know they're in trouble. The ladies, it's the one who looks good, who smells good, who talks good. But God already told you that's not the one for you. See, but the ugly, the one that you don't want, it's easy. But God says it's not a sacrifice if you want to keep it. When he told you to give it up, it's only a sacrifice when it costs you something. And Solomon had to give up 1,000 of his best without blemish. It cost him a lot. And then God showed up. You can keep holding on to stuff and wonder why God won't talk to you, or you can't hear God clearly because it's some stuff you need to get rid of. You got to sacrifice it. All right, let's go back to Leviticus. It's easy to give up the ugly stuff and the stuff you don't want. That means nothing to you. You're going to offer that to God. Really, God, you take this. And I wish I could go through that whole story. I think we've gone through it before, how Saul just played the game. And God said it's more important. It's better if you obey than the sacrifice. When it comes down to it, just do what I say. Trying to sacrifice stuff that you don't want. Will you just do what I say? Verse 3, if this offering, Leviticus 1 and 3, you there say amen. Amen. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. You have to offer your heart and your life to God. And then you offer it at the door of the tabernacle, which is at the door of the church. But now we know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. When we leave this building, God isn't here saying, I can't wait till they come back Sunday or Wednesday. When we leave, God goes with us because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. So when they offered at the door of the tabernacle, we offer at the door of our heart to the door of God's heart. It's a heart to heart relationship. And you offer it voluntarily. God is not going to force you to love him, to serve him. He's not going to force anybody. It's of your own free will. Verse 4, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him. So he puts it there so you know that it's for you to make atonement for him. You have to make some type of atonement for your sins. Brother Raymond teaches all the time that sin has to be punished. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when people are talking about all their opinions and this and that, just ask them, what do you do to make atonement for your sins? What do you do? What do you do? Well, I don't do anything. Well, then you ask them, who's controlling you? Who are you allowing to control your life? And please don't tell me you. Okay? Who are you allowing to control your life? And please don't say, well, I'm controlling my. Oh, my gosh. That's the worst thing you could do is be in control of your life. Offer it to God and let God control your life. Verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests. Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 5, again, and he shall kill the bullock. Something has to die. When you're offering and you're making a sacrifice, something has to die. It's unfortunate, but something does. If you are single and you haven't offered your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, then your will will live, but your relationship with God will slowly deteriorate and die. Let me say that again. Something has to die when you make a sacrifice. If you're single and your relationship with God is not being cultivated and nurtured, and you're not sacrificing and offering to God, then that relationship's going to die. And then your will live. Something always lives and something always dies. If you are married and you're not sacrificing for the sake of your marriage, your selfish will within the marriage will live, but your marriage will die. If you're not offering and sacrificing, if it's not costing you anything to be married, that's why it is so tough to be married and to stay married. Most people don't realize this going in. And see, now these days we treat marriage like we treat dating. I'll get married. If it don't work out, I'll get somebody else. That's not marriage. Marriage is I'm in until death do us part. And something has to die. So my will dies so my marriage can live. Otherwise, my selfish will live and my marriage will die. And I tell you, as a pastor, if I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. Something's going to die. You sacrificing something and something's going to live and something's going to die. Your relationship with God is going to live or it's going to die. You're going to have to give up some old friends, some old habits, some old vices. Otherwise, that's going to live and your relationship with God is going to slowly deteriorate. That's a part of the sacrifice. But remember, the whole point of this is how did Solomon put himself in position to hear from God? Because he gave and he sacrificed willingly and he heard from God. 1,000 burnt offerings. I can't even imagine how much time that took. And then we can't even spend 5 minutes in the morning with God. And we say, God, you don't even hear me. God, are you still there? God is like, are you kidding me? 1,000 burnt offerings, 5 minutes a day. What are you willing to sacrifice? How bad do you want to hear from God? How bad do you want to be led by God? That's the question you and I have to ask ourselves. Because it's going to cost us something. I don't want to give up sleep. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to cough the TV. I don't want to get off the phone. I don't want to get off of Facebook when I should be putting my face in this book. I don't want to do it. I don't want to sacrifice anything. And I wonder why I can get no traction in life. You and I, we're not sacrificing for God. And then we see all this stuff going on in the world, and we can't get mad at the world because we're the ones not sacrificing to hear from God, to be led by God. And then as we read the word, these things must come to pass anyway. So don't be surprised. Just know that we're in the middle of this whole last 2 years we've been talking about spiritual warfare. We see the evidence of it. It looks like the enemy is winning, but we know that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here, Jesus said these things must come to pass. And it's amazing that in our day, in our time, we would have never thought we would see some of the things happening in the world today that are happening today. Would have never thought I would have saw anything like this. I remember growing up as a kid and you couldn't even say a bad word on the radio or on TV. You just didn't say it. Oh, my gosh, did you hear that? They can't say that. Just certain things you didn't see. And we talk about it when TV went off. You woke up and it was law. It went off. It had a countdown. Ray Charles sang America the Beautiful and TV went off. So love that song. It'll wake me up. Oh, I got to get this off and go to bed after I hear Ray Charles. Now we're so far out of control. It's like, God help us. We got to stand in the gap, family. We have to stand in the gap. Before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he looked for somebody he asked Lot, if you could find me. Lot said, if I could find 50 people who are praying, would you spare? And God said, I would. He went all the way down to 10. Couldn't find one person except for himself. And God said, you better get out. Even his wife didn't even want to go. So you have to understand, it's a lot of people that don't understand the deception that's going on in the world today. You can't be surprised by that. It's nothing new under the sun. What they say, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. It's nothing new under the sun. So verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests. Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And we know without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he shall flay the burnt offering, which means he shall skin it and cut it into pieces. Yeah, sometimes you just got to cut some stuff up, and literally and figuratively, and I'm going back and forth, but you got to get rid of some stuff. Got to cut it up and let it go. And then verse 7, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put the fire upon the altar. You got to burn some stuff up too. And lay the wood, how? In order. God is telling you, get your life in order. Burn some stuff up, cut some stuff up, sacrifice some stuff, and get your life in order. It's a sacrifice. But God, I don't want, I was just starting to feel comfortable. Let it go, sacrifice it, give it to God, get yourself in order if you're ever going to get to where I planned for you. Family, let me share something with you. Everybody that you have in your life right now can't go with you where God is taking you. Let me say that again. Everybody who's in our life, you and I in our life now, they cannot go with you where God is taking you. And do you really want to get to where God wants you to go? So reality check, where if I'm sacrificing for God, then it's going to cost me. But what God has for me is so much better than what I had. But the enemy will never let you see that. He'll always try and tell you one thing as he is lying about something else. Let me wrap this up for today. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat. Get rid of the excess fat in your life. In order upon the wood. It's always in order. There is an order to hearing from God. There's an order in your sacrifice. Praise, worship, the word, prayer, fasting, study, fellowship, love. There's an order to your worship. There's an order to your sacrifice. That is on the fire which is upon the altar. Here we go, verse 9. Let me finish with this. But his inward parts and his legs shall he wash with water. Got to get cleaned up too. Got to sanctify. Some stuff has to be sanctified in the midst of you getting in order. Remember, we talked about it last time. If you're going to be, you're either going to be a sanctified saint or a recycled sinner. One of the two. Either you're going to get it cleaned up, you're going to get it together and get sanctified, wash it out, or you're just going to recycle sin in your life and go through the same, be that hamster on that wheel going round and round trying to figure out, where do I get off? But until you sacrifice it all to God, you'll never see. Verse 9, let me finish. But his inward parts and his legs shall he wash with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar. Underline all. To be a burnt sacrifice. An offering made by fire. Underline this. A sweet savior unto the Lord. A sweet aroma unto the Lord. See, when we line our life up with God, then we become a a sweet aroma to God. When we don't, we just walk around with the stench of sin on our life. Am I willing to sacrifice so I could be the sweet aroma with God, or am I comfortable being a stench of sin doing it my own way? Ivy, I didn't even have to check with you once. I knew I wouldn't have to check with you. I knew I would. I knew I have to check with you so many times I didn't even bother you today, okay? I didn't want to bother you today. Sweet aroma unto God because of our sacrifice, the way that we live in our life. Considered to be recycled stench of sin. Pastor, that's a hard word. I know. Let's pray. We'll pick up the rest next week. Lord, how we just need your help, Lord, today more than ever. As we're trying to live to be salt, to be light, Lord. As we're offering our hearts, our minds to you. We're given 80% and there's another 20, and you said you want 100. We're trying our best, Lord. We're struggling, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help our unbelief that you have more for us than we can do ourselves. We believe, but help our unbelief, Lord, that you can do more for us than what the world is offering, that you could do more for us than what some guy or some lady or some girl or some boy is offering. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help our belief to know that you are all in all, that there's nothing too hard for you, that we can trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, acknowledge you in all our ways that you might direct our paths. Help us to believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to your purpose. Help us to believe that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Help us to believe that the suffering of this present time can't be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. Help us to believe that, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through so many obstacles and hurdles and singleness and marriage and family and kids and grandkids and friends and job and business. God, help us to navigate through and to hold on to you each and every step of the way. Help our unbelief in any aspect of what we should sacrifice to you, and is it worth it? Can I do it? Help us to believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yes, we can do it. Help us to believe that we can do it this time, Lord, that this time is going to be different, that this time I'm going all the way with you, Lord. This time I'm not going to get sidetracked. I'm not going to turn around. Help us to believe that we can do it through you. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you now. You say, Pastor, my first step is to accept Christ. I've never accepted Christ. I've never invited Jesus Christ into my heart to live through me. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I need to get back on track. I got to rededicate. I got to reboot with God. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need a church home. I need a place where I can be, a place where I can grow, a place where I can learn and grow closer to God. If you don't have a church home, I'd love to be your pastor. We would love to be your church family. We're not members, we are family. That's you, elevate your hand if you're looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you. We love you. Brother Ricky, I'm asking you just to come up and want to pray with you. Ask some of my men to come up, surround our young brother Ricky, our young, strong brother Ricky. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that as we all stand here, and we know, Lord, that we need to reboot. We know we need to line up with your word and just to rededicate. And So as we come here and stand here publicly as men and as young men, just ask, Lord, that you would help lead, guide us, and direct us. Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, we don't want to be recycled sinners. We want to be sanctified men of God. We want to be men that believe you with 100% of our heart and not thinking that we have to go out and keep doing things our own way and falling short because we're only giving you 80 or 70%. So we want to rededicate our lives to give you 100. Rededicate our lives as men, as brothers, as fathers, as husbands. God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Your word says that if we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. But he that confess and forsake shall find mercy. So we just don't want to get up here and confess. We're going to forsake some stuff too. Going to burn some stuff up, cut some stuff out. Draw closer to you, Lord, so we can have the mercy and that we can prosper in good success. It's not about money, but prosper means having a good, successful life in God is what your word talks about. Thank you as men, Lord. We understand that the American dream is not God's vision for our life. We want to follow what you have for us, Lord, not buy into the lie that anyone else other than the word of God is trying to sell us. So we love you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. Give us the strength to be right, to think right, to act right, to live right, to love as brothers. Yes, we are a brother's keeper. We cover our brother and our brothers now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. You got it, Brother Ricky. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hug somebody. You are dismissed. Hey, baby. What's up, Rhea?
Look.